We learn so much from children, and they can say some very funny things sometimes and very insightful words occasionally. Let me just share a few with you. Here are some insightful gems from children. When your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. Anyone experienced that before? You can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. If you want a kitten, start out by asking for a horse. I like that one. When you get a bad grade in school, show it to your mom when she's on the phone. And lastly, the two places you're always welcome, church and grandma's house. Grandma's house. Oh, a lot of things can go on in grandma's house. Yeah, we could go on with grandma's there. If your parents aren't going to get to you, ask grandma, she will. But we learn a lot of gems from kids, a lot of insight, a lot of wisdom in there. Sometimes the lessons and principles of life are simpler than we think, aren't they? Now, also, I wanted to share with you that over 20 years ago, Robert Fulghum became famous for his book, All I Really Need to Know I Learned Where? In Kindergarten. I don't know if anybody ever read that book. But he also just shared a few incredible lessons that he learned in kindergarten that he's used throughout his life. And let me just share a few of those with you as well. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Take a nap every afternoon. When you go out into the world, watch out for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. And there's, I think, a lot more. But I'll stop right there. Those are very simple yet profound principles for life, aren't they, that we learn in kindergarten. Thank you, God, for kindergarten teachers. Pray for them today. Some of us need to go back to kindergarten. And I'm not pointing any fingers, but sometimes we need to remember those lessons. It gets harder as adults to remember the things that are so important. So this morning, as we go back into this letter that Paul writes to this list of lessons he gives to us, important things we need to remember, we need to also realize that if we just hold on to these lessons, these important truths from God, boy, what a difference it will make in our life and in this world. If we just hold on to the Word of God, if we just remember the lessons he teaches us, then we will be more, I know we will, and you will be more firmly established in your faith and less prone to wander, less prone to waver. And so this morning we're looking once again at the final instructions that Paul gives to the church at Thessalonica. Here we are in chapter 5, and Paul is saying, I'll look at this list in just a moment with you, but this is how God has called you to live. This is what God has called you to believe in, and how to behave as followers of Jesus Christ. And so we've been going through this list together, and this is our fifth and final opportunity to learn from God's word here. This series probably has only been scratching the surface, so I'd encourage you after today, keep going back to this list and studying it. The Holy Spirit will continue to teach you more. But as you look at this list that starts with live in peace with each other, to the one that we're going to end with today, avoid every kind of evil. And all that instruction in between, we cannot live out the Word of God without God in our lives. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit each and every day so that we can practice and apply God's Word. Now the thing is, God won't make you do this. You have to make that choice to live obediently to God's word each and every day as you become aware of what God's word says about who you are and why you're here. And so we're looking at this list again. We're concluding with the last couple of instructions here. But again, Paul is taking the opportunity to include, again, several, not just warnings, but commands. And he's emphasizing a few things of special importance. Now, back in chapter 4, verse 1, we cannot forget that he said in chapter 4, verse 1, if you go there with me, finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living, now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. And so that's an incredible weight behind this list, living a life to please God and doing it more and more. That is what Christians are called to. Now until the Lord returns or he takes you home. Live lives pleasing to God. Live holy lives. And he urged them to do this more and more. And again, this is what sanctification is all about. Being set apart for Jesus in how we live. And so as we conclude the sermon series on disciplines for discipleship, we come now to verses 20 to 22. And what does Paul say to do? Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Look at the important, significant insight there from God's word. Words that we must never forget. In verse 20, if we begin there, please, Paul first begins with, do not treat prophecies with contempt, or don't despise prophecies. Well, let's begin with, what does he mean by prophecies? Well, prophecies are messages from God, spoken through prophets of old, or people who have the gift of prophecy today. To hold something in contempt, something that we hear often in a court of law, is to consider something to be unworthy or of respect, unworthy of respect, or unworthy of attention. And so Paul is warning people not to neglect, not to ignore, nor reject prophecies from God. Now, prophecy, just as a little ramble here, prophecy is one of the strongest proofs pointing to the fact that the Bible is from God. And that God's word is truth. You know, that's a whole other series of sermons on prophecy in the Bible. There's so much of it. All throughout the Bible, we see a prophecy spoken and fulfilled. So fulfilled prophecy in the Bible, and as we are seeing it in the world today fulfilled, validates the authenticity and the reliability and credibility of God's word. So it is truth. God's word is truth that we must build our faith on each and every day. J. Barton Payne's Encyclopedia of Biblical Prophecy lists 12,039 prophecies in the Old Testament, 578 prophecies in the New Testament, for a total of over 1,800 prophecies. So is prophecy important in the Bible? Yes, you cannot ignore. You cannot avoid it. You have to learn and study these prophecies and what they mean for us today. Bible scholar Alfred Edersheim found that 456 Old Testament prophecies referring to the Messiah, to Jesus and his birth and ministry, are not only stated, but also Jesus fulfilled over 300 of them in his earthly ministry. So just the fact that Old Testament prophecies fulfilled in the New Testament in Jesus just reminds us and is such a glaring truth of how important and true God's word is for us today. The gift of prophecy is a special ability to speak forth the message of God. It is the Spirit-enabled gift to proclaim God's revealed truth. And some Old Testament prophets include Noah, Abraham, Jonah, Isaiah. The New Testament mentions also a number of people who possess the gift of prophecy and people that God used to speak, reveal his message to people publicly. And at the time of this writing that Paul writes this letter, it was still active in people in the church. One such person was Agabus, who predicted a coming famine in Acts 11, verse 28. And that famine came to pass under the reign of Claudius, the Roman emperor. He also warned Paul in Acts 21 of suffering that would come to him if he went to Jerusalem. And sure enough, that's what happened to Paul. Barnabas, Simeon, and Paul were also mentioned among prophets and teachers at Antioch in the New Testament. So again, prophecy, the work of a prophet, the ministry of a prophet is basically to be a spokesperson for God. He or she delivers the word of God to people by means of direct revelation. Prophetic messages can deal with certain individuals, the church, or a larger context. Prophecy may involve foretelling something that will happen in the future. But this, of course, again, must come by divine revelation, since nobody apart from God knows what will take place in the future. Only he knows what tomorrow will bring. So why worry about tomorrow? In this verse, Paul is doing what? He is restoring a proper value in how we treat prophecies. Believers need to pay attention to prophecy as revealed in Scripture, to study it, to pay attention to it. We must also take this gift of the Spirit seriously and not ignore it. Now, in this verse, the word prophecies here refers to specifically those who had the gift of prophecy. And the person with this gift, again, is someone who directly receives revelation from God. Paul teaches about the gift of prophecy in 1 Corinthians and how it is to be used, and like every other gift of the Spirit, for the purpose of building up and edifying the church. Now, prophetic ministry continues to this day, and Paul's encouragement to pursue the gift of prophecy remains as relevant as ever. As he wrote to the Corinthians, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. That's for every believer in Jesus Christ today. Especially prophecy, he says. And therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 and 39. So these are important spiritual gifts that can be and are of great value to the church as they point to repentance, as they point to salvation and encouragement amongst the family of God. Now, following verse 20, Paul then goes to say in verse 21, test everything. And so you need to draw that back to do not treat prophecies with contempt. For then he goes on to say, test everything. So when someone is using the gift of prophecy to pass on a word, a revealed word from God, for our instruction, for our faith building, Paul here says we are to test it with every message we encounter, whether from a sermon, a social media post, or even a conversation with a fellow believer. Paul then says we are to test all things and hold fast to that which is good. Now just think of the word test. The word test means to determine something's quality or authenticity. Is this from God? And given the context, Paul intended that the Thessalonian Christians should try to discern the validity of that which message was being brought to them through the work of a prophet. Consider these six tests for us when it comes to understanding if this message is from God or not. First of all, does this message exalt Jesus? Does this message exalt the name of Christ? Does it align with Scripture? So whatever message that you hear, put it beside the Word of God. Does it align with Scripture? Does it build up the church? Does it pronounce judgment on sin? Does it emphasize the grace of God? Does it produce godly fruits? These are important questions that we must put every message to that you hear so that we know that it is from God. If you need those questions again following this, the service, just come please talk to me. But again, test the messages. These test questions provide a starting point, really, for evaluating those who appear to be led by the Spirit and those who appear to have the gift of prophecy. Paul then goes on to say, yes, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. And then he says, hold on to the good. Hold on to the good. So after they have tested things, Paul tells them to hold fast to what is good. And when you think of the word hold on, think of the word embrace. Seize it. Make it your own. Now, there are some things in life that are not good, and you need to get it out of your life. And if it's not from God, if it's a message that is not from God, a voice that you are coming into agreement with that is not from God, you need to discard that thought yesterday. And how do you know? Again, be in God's Word. The Spirit of God will expose and reveal if that message, that voice that you are hearing is not from Him at all. Have you ever watched one of those shows where they clean up a hoarder's house? Anybody watch that reality TV show maybe? Boy, they're hard to watch. They show you all the piles of stuff that people have collected, and it is a serious struggle for some to let go of stuff. And the fear of letting things go is very real, not just when it comes to clutter and things that build up in our rooms and our houses. No matter how useless they are, it's still hard to let it go. And it's not doing you any good if you have that stuff that is useless all around you. You have to get rid of it. So just take that analogy. and apply it to your life. For Christians, for followers of Christ, even the church runs into the same danger when they continue to do the same thing over and over. We keep things that aren't good in the church, in our lives, and they're in the way. So we need to learn how to hold on to what is good and get rid of the rest, what is bad. So let me ask you just a personal question. What in your life is keeping you from drawing closer to God? If the Holy Spirit just spotlights that on your mind today, get rid of it. What is a good thing in your life helping you get closer to God? Keep it in and do more of it. Working through this process will only be made easier as you seek God and trust in Him. Because you might not even know where to begin, or how do I know if there's something that is not good in my life that I need to get out of? Well, just spend time in God's presence. I'll just start right there. Spend time in God's presence, seeking Him, waiting on Him, listening to His voice. When you do that, He will give you a fresh outlook on your life. And it'll be a fresh vision from heaven. Who doesn't want a fresh vision from heaven today? As we look at each other, as we look at our world, as we look at our closets and our rooms and our relationships. In Psalm 73, verses 16 to 17, it's actually called an eternal perspective. And that's what I love about what how Paul is ending here. Jesus is coming. Don't forget it. So live in light of His return. And we live in light of His return by holding on to that which is good. Perhaps that's what we need to do more so that we can sort out life's struggles and messes easier in our own life. Hang on to what is good. Get rid of that which is not good, and you will know the difference the more you spend time in God's presence. Now, when God gives you an eternal perspective on life, I'm telling you, it will help you to let go of earthly things. It will help you sort out the worldly distractions and the futile routines that are keeping you stuck and not going anywhere in your spiritual life. And that applies not only to me spiritually as one of your pastors, but your families, your lives, and our church as well. You will be able to hold on to the good and let go of the bad the more you spend time in God's presence. Now, God's word tells us what is good and worthy of grasping firmly, seizing. Philippians 4 verse 8 tells us to keep our mind fixed on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. There's the good measurement right there. This is the good we are to pursue. This is the good that informs us and influences our choices each and every day. So essentially, when it comes to hold on to the good, hold on to God. Love Him. Walk in obedience to Him and serve Him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is what believers are called to do until Jesus returns. And this is Paul's message to these believers in a church in Thessalonica written 2,000 years ago, but written for us today and tomorrow as well. God's word will always give you the truth and will guide you to the right path. For in God's word, we learn the truth about who we are and why we're here, where we are going. God's word reveals how you got here. What is real and what is truth? These are questions we all struggle with at times in life. And that is why it's so important to know God's word, because it will help us know Him more and more. If a message, again, does not align with God's word or God's character, if a prophecy does not align with God's word or God's character, they are not from God, and therefore not good, and discard it. Believers are told here by Paul, hold fast to that which is good, that which is in agreement with God's word. So abide in God's word and always look to Him, and He will give you wisdom to know what you need to do next. Now, those who hold fast to that which is good obey God's word and experience true freedom in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 8, if you hold to my word, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. I hope today that you, when you look in the mirror, you can say, yes, I am truly one of Christ's disciples because I am obeying God's word. Now, how would you know what is good? Again, one approach to answering that question would be then to look at that test those six questions that I mentioned earlier. Something would be good if it exalts Christ, if it accords with Scripture, if it builds up the church, if it points people to sin and repentance. Now in verse 22, Paul next says, avoid every kind of evil. Avoid every kind of evil. To avoid the appearance of evil, to avoid every form of evil means to just stay far away from it. Don't go near it. Don't let your thoughts go there. Don't hang out with people that are leading you down that path. What is evil? Well, evil is the lack of goodness. It is usually thought of as that which is morally wrong, what is sinful and wicked. Evil can also refer to anything that causes harm. The word is used both ways in the Bible. Evil behavior includes sin committed against other people or evil committed against God. We don't have to look far to give examples of evil in this day and age. Important topics that are on the headlines this week. What is evil? Gossip, abortion, selling illegal drugs on the streets of Campbellford. How about that sad massacre down in New York State? Evil at its worst, taking another life. And then again, evil against God, taking the Lord's name in vain. Again, avoid it. Anything that contradicts the holy nature of God is evil. And so the more you get to know God, the more you'll be able to discern what is evil. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to listen to that song. I'm not going to say those words. And that will come as you get to know Jesus more in your daily life. Now, Paul is reminding believers here that we should always remain aware of our witness to the world and of our responsibility to support fellow believers. When you think of those words, avoid every kind of evil, Paul just does not have in mind their own pursuit of holiness, but the fact that we are called to be salt and light. If the church is doing evil, then something's wrong. Christians are a witness of God to the world, and we are called to avoid every kind of evil because God is holy. And we are called to be holy as well. So this seems quite self-explanatory, right? Avoid every kind of evil. But again, easier to say, hard to do and put into practice. I pray that you will today want to avoid every kind of evil. Run away from sin. Run away from temptation to sin. Timothy 2 verse 22 says, flee the evil desires and pursue righteousness. Pursue faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And so doing that helps us stay holy and focused on giving God glory in our lives. So our focus should always be on really, truly getting to know God, serving him and living righteously for him. Avoiding every kind of evil truly means to live in God's light by the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5 verse 11 says, we take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So by doing good, we are also defeating evil. In Romans, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And this is how God wants to use you in your world today. Now, again, breaking this down to the personal level means basically your daily walk with Christ. It matters. It matters to God. It matters to your church. I hope it matters to you and that you take it seriously. Listen to what Jesus said about your walking with him daily in John 15, 4-10. Remain in me. And I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. faithfulness. Faithfulness. He is faithful. Will you be faithful? He wants God, he wants to be part of your life. He wants to take up more and more of your life each and every day if you will let him, if you will be open to him. So do not neglect the blessing and opportunity of other believers, church family, and fellowship in your life. People sitting next to you, God has put in your life so that you can be better at following Jesus every day. Do not neglect them. Keep in your life and keep on your mind what is good. And who is good? God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. A time will come. A time will come when every one of us will be judged by how we live, how we lived our lives on earth based on what we knew about God and about his word. And he is going to judge your works, so be more concerned about God's judgment than on the people who want to judge you on earth. And let us not be caught up in that. We do have lots of freedoms to do various things as guided by the Holy Spirit. Still, as believers, we are also told that while we can do a lot of things, not everything is good for us. So get rid of it. That which is not good and helping you draw closer to God. We should strive to be a good example of a follower of Christ in our outward words, in our attitudes, in our actions. And if you're living your life in God's light by the power of the Holy Spirit, then you're living in the right direction, and God bless you today. Paul then ends this passage in verses 23 to 24. Look at how he ends. It's like a prayer. It's almost like a blessing. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So what a blessing, what a prayer that Paul gives over the church. May God is how he begins. And Paul is asking something of God for the saints then and now. When we hope for something for someone, typically we are also praying that God would cause that something to happen. And Paul wants God to sanctify them through and through their entire being, that they would be blameless, not sinless, but blameless. And to be blameless means to live a life of integrity. Someone like Daniel, whose adversaries tried but couldn't find any corruption in him. We could use a little more integrity, couldn't we, in the world today? That's why it's important for believers to live with a pursuit of holiness as we await the Lord's return, that we are living honorable lives, lives that get noticed. People need to see that we live by the words of Christ, by the example that he set up before us. So live in order to please Jesus and do it more and more. He is coming again. He is faithful, and that is the comfort that we have and the strength where we find it. Just keep going and not give up. The Lord will help us in all these things, and he will return. So press forward. Don't lose heart. He is faithful to fulfill his promise. Let grace be with you and motivate you to live this way. And keep focused on Jesus. Truly, we focus on Jesus by doing God's will and by keeping our hearts seeking after him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word today, for the ministry of your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are working in this place to draw us closer to you. Help us now as we go from this place to put into practice these words that you have taught us, what we have learned from you today in this time of worship. Thank you, God, that you are a forgiving and gracious God. We thank you that you are God of new beginnings and fresh starts. Lord, help us to continue to keep our eyes on you. We live in a world of many distractions, great evil, and an enemy that is very deceptive. Lord, help us to stay true to your word. And as we get to know you more and more, God, may the knowledge of you help us discern when something needs to get out of our lives. And help us to keep in our lives that which is good and honoring and pleasing to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.